Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. During the first 3 months of this year, 332 proposals seeking to restrict access to abortion were introduced at the state level. 9 were enacted. According to the Guttmacher Institute, these measures seek to curtail access in both the early and later months of pregnancy, leaving women and girls with fewer options and a greatly reduced time frame to get the care they need. The Guttmacher Institute also reports that in the last 4 years, states have enacted 231 abortion restrictions. 27 states are now considered hostile to abortion rights. 18 are extremely hostile. Every few months, Guttmacher issues a new study with higher numbers. These restrictions are often debated in legislative houses across the country, and sometimes they result in massive protests. But where are the stories behind these numbers? Who are the women and girls impacted by not only abortion restrictions, but also restrictions to basic health care? Last year, a new law in Texas caused 40 women's health clinics to shut down entirely. All clinics along the Texas-Mexico border have shut down, all of them. Well, the new performance Birthright puts a human face on these numbers. The women and girls in Birthright tell deeply personal stories about abortion, rape, sexual abuse, drug addiction, and the importance of Planned Parenthood. Birthright is a performance by Cultural Odyssey in collaboration with Planned Parenthood of Northern California. It's also a celebration of the Medea Project, Theater for Incarcerated Women's 25th anniversary. Birthright kicks off this Thursday at the Brava Theater in San Francisco and runs through April 19th. You can find ticket information at yourcallradio.org. Today, I am joined by Rodessa Jones. She is founder of the San Francisco-based performance company Cultural Odyssey. She's also director of the award-winning Medea Project, Theater for Incarcerated Women. And Rodessa joins me in studio. Hi, Rodessa.
Oh, hi. It's good to be back, Rose.
It's great to have you back. We're also joined by Adrienne Bozian. She's Vice President of Public Affairs at Planned Parenthood Northern California. Hi, Adrienne. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rose. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you. So, Rodessa, I was looking at all of these numbers, 231 restrictions on the books in the past 4 years, 40 clinics closing in Texas. And I was just thinking about how this is getting a lot of media attention, but it's so rare to hear the stories, mm-hmm. unless maybe something happens to a journalist who writes a first-person account, mm-hmm. and then that gets shared widely. But what's amazing about Birthright is that women take the stage to tell deeply yes. personal stories. Why did you decide to focus specifically on abortion and reproductive rights?
Well, it came up. We started talking about working with Planned Parenthood and in collaboration with Planned Parenthood. And this was really the very early stages of planting the seeds for the show. The stories kept coming up. Everyone would admit, share about having an abortion, about being involved with Planned Parenthood, even the women in my group who are HIV positive. Some of them went to Planned Parenthood and got tested there. And so all of a sudden it was like, and the Medea Project's methodology has to do with telling stories, sharing our stories. And that whole symbolic kitchen table that women share, you know, that we sit around and we nurse our babies, we suffer, we sorrow, we have our sorrow at this place. And it was just all back again. It was like, that's what these women knew about. That's what even my staff, the core group, was like about Planned Parenthood and about abortion and how it's so hard. It's so hard to have an abortion, but thank God for Planned Parenthood who created a space for that to happen. And then Lisa, one of the women in my group, said, but please, everybody, we have to share with this audience that it's not an easy decision. It's just not an easy decision. And when we think about the clinics that are closing, that's murderous to leave women just hanging out there. You know, just, and as you were just saying, the time factor is so important. So then there's the pain and the sorrow and of a woman picking up all of this and moving forward with her life. It's amazing that we're at this place. Yeah.
A lot of the women who are taking the stage to perform in Birthright were part of the Medea Project. So a lot of these women are formerly incarcerated and have very intense stories to share. So as you were going through that process, a lot of them talked about HIV, sexual assault, rape, and the importance of Planned Parenthood.
Yes. And at the same time, because of their journey, Planned Parenthood was this beacon, because just knowing you cannot have this baby, you know, in this, in the madness that, yes, you might have created this social quagmire, but as a woman's right and body and mind, you think, well, I got enough without bringing a baby into this. And I really applauded them for that. I really did.
Adrian, what are your thoughts on telling personal stories? Because it's so easy to get, you know, bogged down in the debate, the politicians debating. And oftentimes there are big protests. We saw lots of protests in Texas, really across the country. But it's really rare to sort of sit back and listen to the stories of the women and girls who are affected by these restrictions.
Yes, and I just want to say that Planned Parenthood is having our 100th anniversary next year, so we have been around 100 years, and we have been hearing those stories and serving women for 100 years. And we're so proud to partner with the Medea Project, because the Medea Project is empowering women to find their voice and tell their story. And, of course, we're hearing from women every day in our health centers. We've got 27 health centers in 20 counties, and more than 90% of our clients qualify for subsidized family planning because their household incomes are less than 200% of federal poverty.
90%?
Yes. Wow. And we are seeing women, and we see men, too, who need our services. Low income, need access to abortion, which is actually only 3% of what we do, and we're very proud of those services. But 97% of what we do is also preventive health care, breast cancer screenings, cervical cancer screenings, STD testing and treatment. Rodessa mentioned HIV testing. We were actually the first Planned Parenthood in the country to do HIV testing. And so we are seeing and hearing these stories every single day.
And Adrian, what are groups like Planned Parenthood and others doing to try to bring these stories out so they get more attention?
So we have multiple strategies. One of the things that makes Planned Parenthood so strong is that we have 7 million supporters nationwide. And those numbers grew dramatically in the past, have grown dramatically in the past few years as rights have been attacked, and abortion and health care, and not just abortion, but birth control and basic women's health care has been under constant attack, as you mentioned earlier. And so we have had a huge outpouring of support. And that's our strength. And then, of course, we've also got clients who come into our health centers, and we're able to, and then we've got education services out in the community. We're working with families to make sure that they have the tools they need to have sex ed, both in schools and at home. And then we've got, of course, our policy and our advocacy, and we are sharing those stories. We are working on legislation in California. California has been the only state to expand access to women's health, and not just once, but 3 years in a row. And we're going to work on that again this year. We are working to try to get our Medi-Cal rates up, because we're one of the worst in the nation in our at our level of Medi-Cal reimbursement rates, which is for low-income women and men. So we are constantly telling those stories. We bring our clients up to the state legislature to share stories, and that's one way that we're getting word out. It's very powerful.
Rodessa, talk about some of the women who will be sharing their stories in the performance Birthright, which again kicks off this Thursday at the Brava Theater in San Francisco. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. Stella is a woman who was in an abusive relationship, and she got pregnant. She says that her journey really taught her to open her eyes about the war on reproductive rights and what women are facing. She says, quote, I learned that almost every woman that I knew had had an abortion, that this procedure, the one that no one talks about, everyone has had, and yet we are silent. I learned that while Kaiser will not perform abortions, they will cover them.
Yes, yes. Stella is one of my younger performers, which I'm just touched. I'm just so amazed that the young women, and I think because of the Medea Project and Planned Parenthood and the room to tell your story, young women are stepping up. They're stepping up. But it's a cross-section of women, you know. We have, as you were saying earlier, we have ex-offenders. We have women that are their mid-50s to our youngest performer, other than the granddaughter of another performer. She's 13. And they are all talking about their lives as women and the depth that goes to just the atrocities that women have faced anyway. And then you look at what is attempting to happen with our government around closing these centers, which is, you know, I mean, people can scream about abortion, but Planned Parenthood, as Adrian just said, offers all of these services to poor people in their neighborhoods. I want to just add that when I first started working with Planned Parenthood, it was 3 years ago, and we got invited to have sessions with service workers. Planned Parenthood has some wonderful service workers and educational facilitators for schools, and they sat down and they talked to us about what it was to be a part of Planned Parenthood. And that, for me as a director, it totally enriched my approach to this work. But the cross-section of women, we have African-American women, we have an Arab woman, we have a woman from Haiti, we have, some crazy young white girls, you know. We have a clown. So it's a wonderful mixture of the world of women, yes.
I'm speaking with Rodessa Jones, founder of the San Francisco-based performance company Cultural Odyssey. She's also director of the award-winning Medea Project, Theater for Incarcerated Women. And they'll be celebrating their 25th anniversary with a new performance, Birthright, developed in collaboration with Planned Parenthood. They're celebrating their 100th anniversary next year. And you can find more information about Birthright. It opens this Thursday at the Brava Theater in San Francisco. It runs through the 19th. At yourcallradio.org. And it really puts a face on these restrictions that are passing so quickly, it's really hard to keep up with them. So for the first 3 months of this year, 332 proposals seeking to restrict access to abortion were introduced at the state level. That's about the total amount introduced last year. So this is just 3 months versus 12 months last year. These numbers just keep rising. And what Birthright really does is put a face on these numbers. So these women and girls share deeply personal stories about rape, sexual abuse, assault, abortion. And Rodessa is the director of this new performance. We're also joined by Adrienne Bozian. She's vice president of public affairs at Planned Parenthood Northern California. And we do so many shows about reproductive justice. What are your thoughts on the power of telling stories? And if you have a story, we'd love to hear about it. So many of you have shared so many incredible stories over the years about this issue. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. When we're talking about clinics closing in Texas, 40 have shut down. All clinics along the Texas-Mexico border have shut down. How are you putting all of this into perspective? You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org or email feedback at yourcallradio.org. I also want to talk about the girls part of this. Because I find that when we talk about abortion restrictions, we focus on women. And it's very uncomfortable for us to talk about girls and rape, for example.
Yes.
Tavia tells a story. I don't want to give all of this away, but she talks about what it was like in fifth grade.
Yes.
And her horrible experience just by asking to go to the bathroom.
Yes. Being assaulted and being on the campus at school.
Right.
Yeah. It's, we don't want to deal with that. You know, we have, as Tavia, we have two other young women. And the other day in rehearsal, We were thinking, do we put these little girls on stage when this other woman is telling this story about rape, about incest, actually? And we all agreed, yes. The audience should at least see them and know that it begins this early. You know, I mean, once when I was very young, I met a man who thought that rape only could happen if you were 10 years old and younger. He said, well, you can't accuse somebody of rape if it's not a real child. I'm thinking, I was wondering about this man this morning, what happened to him. I just want to say to the listeners, Birthright, we're going to have an intermission. We're going to have a corridor. We got like a gallery, and we have set up a stage where we want people to step up and share their thoughts. And for me, I want people to talk about, what is a woman? I mean, because right now we're dealing with these, the clinics are closing. What do you think a woman is? What do you think a woman is made of? You know, because it's like, I'm afraid that they will start to shoot us down in the streets. And it's like, if we don't have any women, the planet is definitely on its way out. I know we're having climate change, but how are people looking at this situation? Because it involves us all. Yeah.
Well, Rodessa, when you sort of step back, or when you go to bed at night after doing these rehearsals, and this is very deep stuff, that mm-hmm. the stories they're mm-hmm. sharing is really deep, but when you look at the numbers and what's happening and what's passing and these clinics closing, how are you making sense of what we're facing today?
You know, it keeps me up. It keeps me up, and I write lots of notes to myself, and I have to fight my own fury. You know, because it would just make me sick if I go into the space of just being so angry. I thought about the R. Kelly incident in Chicago 2 or 3 years ago when he was involved with these young girls and he ended up urinating on girls, and it came out that this was part of his sex play with these children. And I remember there was a writer in Chicago, a female, who immediately blamed the girls and said that the girls were hot to trot and they shouldn't have been over there. And I was talking to a very good friend of mine. He said, wait a minute. He said, I'm a grown man. He said, even if a young girl is flouncing around nude, it's up to me to put a stop on it. You know, that doesn't give me carte blanche to assault her, sex her, urinate on her. And he said, back to your question about how am I dealing with this, where is the responsibility? Whose responsibility is it? I grew up as Roe versus Wade was coming into play, you know, and so I am astounded that we've arrived at this place where the government is stepping in. Sean Reynolds, who's the social worker who will be speaking at Birthright, she was saying last night how if you don't have a vagina, you just don't have any say in this. And there are some vaginas that should be still as well. So, yeah, so I think that we're going to have to deal with it. If we care at all about our mothers, our daughters, our sisters, we're going to have to. Everybody has to step up. And I really hope that there are more men ready to stand with us than, you know, because pregnancy takes two, you know. Purvis Patel, the Indian girl who's facing that. Where is the man who was a part of this pregnancy? What happened to him?
I wanted to talk about that. Purvi Patel was charged with child neglect and later with killing her fetus. On March 30th, she was sentenced to 20 consecutive years in prison. Mm. According to NBC, this makes her the first woman in the U.S. to be convicted and sentenced on feticide charges for ending her own pregnancy. The World actually has a piece on this and says the doctor who initially called police to report his child abuse suspicions of Purvi Patel is listed as a member of an anti-choice pro-life medical association. Adrienne, I'm sure you've been following this case.
Just a little bit, yeah.
I mean, what does this say about where we are right now, that she could be sentenced to 20 consecutive years in prison, charged with child neglect and for killing her fetus?
It's horrible, and it's unconscionable, and there are so many other stories. There's a woman on the East Coast who went online to get her daughter medication abortion, and she is now facing prison for doing that to help her daughter. And, you know, we saw in Congress recently, there was a bipartisan bill to protect survivors of human trafficking, so women and girls who are in extremely vulnerable situations. And this bill had pretty broad support on both sides of the aisle. And the Republicans tried to sneak in a provision that would deny safe legal abortion to those same survivors, and it would have extended the Hyde Amendment. The Hyde Amendment is awful. It has been in place since 1976, and it denies poor women public funding for abortions, except to save their life. And so there was this measure that was snuck in. It would have expanded the Hyde Amendment for the most vulnerable women and girls, and this is happening across the country. And we just... Rose, we cannot let these things, yes, they are horrible, and we can't let them stop us. That is what they want. They want us to be discouraged. The attacks are fast and furious on all levels, and we just we must never give up. We have to keep fighting. It's not there are gains that are happening. I mentioned one of them in California, but we have to struggle every single day for this, for freedom, and we can't give up.
Well, you mentioned the mother and the daughter, and just because it's hard to keep up with all of this, the New York Times Magazine had a long piece about this. On September 12th, Jennifer Whalen, a 39-year-old mother of three in the rural town of Washingtonville, Pennsylvania, went to jail to begin serving a 9-to-18-month sentence. Her crime was, in effect, ordering pills online that her older daughter took in the first several weeks of an unplanned pregnancy when she was 16 to induce a miscarriage. So she's serving time right now, according to the New York Times.
I'm thinking, as Adrienne was saying, they want us to back down. They want us to go quiet. And then what? Then what? I mean, there's the whole question of cutting food stamps. So we're supposed to have these children and worry about how they eat. You know, it's what is expected of us as women if we don't take control? And we have a right to our own health care and our own control about our bodies. And abortion is one of those things that we have a right to decide if and when a child should come into the world. And what just happened to us if we were to go quiet? This is just a question back to my own midnight meanderings. Hmm. It becomes a real question for me. What is a woman? That are we just animals? Are we supposed to just be barefoot and pregnant? Ha ha! You know, it's if for anybody listening that might even feel like I want to hear from all the people. Hmm. What is your position on this? And it does involve all of us.
And if you'd like to join it, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. That's Rodessa Jones. She's director of the new performance Birthright, developed in collaboration with Planned Parenthood. It kicks off this Thursday at the Brava Theater in San Francisco. It really puts a face to all of these restrictions that are passing so quickly across the country. Adrienne Bozian is vice president of public affairs at Planned Parenthood Northern California. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. And let's hear from Catherine. Hi, Catherine. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi. I'm calling from Berkeley, and I have a question and just a little comment, which I will give first. When your guest is listing off, like, who's involved, African-American women and crazy white women, how about including some Native women and some Asian and Latina?
We do have all
comments.
These. It isn't
and
that.
Also, yeah. I would like to find out, please, what do you mean by Kaiser covers abortions but does not perform abortions? Could you please explain that? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Well, it's inside of a story that one young woman wrote about her abortion. I don't know about Kaiser, but in one of the stories by one of my performers, Stella, she talks about, and I think it's phenomenal that, you know, that this goes on at Kaiser. I did not know this. So we'll be sharing this with the public. Yeah.
Adrienne, do you have any more information about Kaiser? Again, this is a story in Birthright that is told by Stella.
No, so I don't have information on them.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling. We'll look online and see if we can find more information and put that up at yourcallradio.org. This is Your Call. We'll be back after this.
invite you to join today's conversation on Your Call. Lots of ways to take part. On the phone, it's 866-798-8255. It's a toll-free call, 866-798-TALK. If you'd prefer to send an email to write rather than call, the address is feedback@yourcallradio.org. Coming up at 11, World Have Your Say from the BBC. Following that, Backstory at noon, and then this afternoon at 1, it's Alternative Radio. This week, Drones, Death from Above with Marjorie Cohn.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we will have a conversation with reporter Safa Al-Ahmad about her frontline documentary, The Fight for Yemen. Her on-the-ground and often dangerous reporting from Yemen takes a rare and close-up look at the Houthis and their rise to power. How did the Houthis gain power? As violent feuds tear Yemen apart, what are the prospects for its future? If you have any questions about what is happening in Yemen, I hope you can join us tomorrow. We're also putting shows together about gender discrimination in Silicon Valley. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking about abortion restrictions and the new performance Birthright, which puts a human face on the numbers that we often hear. The Guttmacher Institute reports that in the last 4 years, states have enacted 231 abortion restrictions. 27 states are now considered hostile to abortion rights, 18 extremely hostile. So who are the women and the girls impacted by not only these restrictions, but also restrictions to basic health care? And you will see a lot of women who face restrictions. They tell their stories about rape, sexual assault, HIV, getting tested at Planned Parenthood. On the stage at the Brava Theater, Birthright kicks off this Thursday. You can find more information, yourcallradio.org. Rodessa Jones is the director of the play. She's also director of the award-winning Medea Project, Theater for Incarcerated Women. They're celebrating their 25th anniversary, and this is in collaboration with Planned Parenthood. They're celebrating their 100th anniversary next year. Adrian Bozian is vice president of public affairs at Planned Parenthood, Northern California. And if you'd like to join us, if you have personal stories to share, if you'd like to talk about your thoughts on all of these restrictions that we're seeing, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Rodessa, Catherine had questions about Asians, Native Americans, and you work with people from all walks of life. Yeah. Can you talk about some of the cultural difficulties that some of the women brought up when talking about these issues specifically?
Yeah, just in response to Catherine, first of all, I'd like to say, even the I love my crazy white girls. It was a loving comment. And no, my doors are open. I have worked in the last 25 years with everybody, with Latins, with Natives, with even Asian women. My dramaturg is Filipina. But what I found is when I started to do a piece on HIV, I had a cross-section of women. And the Japanese women in particular left when they realized that this was going to become public because of the stigma in their own community. And there are other women that have not been able to participate because of the stigma. I'm dealing with some women who have HIV and they can't come forward because of the stigma in their families, trying to keep their families together. So it's a very, very very complicated to have a theater company that deals with women's lives because a lot of women are very restricted in this culture in their own homes. Dr. Edward Machtinger, who heads the UC Medical Center, who's my partner with the HIV project, he and I got together because he said, I need for you to use your storytelling methodologies to get women to face their HIV situation and then be able to tell their families because you cannot get well. You can't live healthily if you're living with this incredible... You can't even take your medicine consciously if you're living with that secret. So my doors are open, and I've had a lot of wonderful women pass through, but there are women who have they're stigmatized by this whole thing. Mm. They're stigmatized. Their religion stigmatizes them when it comes to telling stories about abortion, even rape, the shame around rape. You know, I've met a lot of women. I work with a lot of women, but they have to draw the line when it comes to, oh, you want me to go on stage and say this? You have to. They draw the line. Yes.
So what did those women tell the women who are on stage in terms of tell my story? What was most important about that?
Well, everybody agrees that the truth will set you free. When I first started the Medea Project, there were stories that I worked intensely in the San Francisco County jails. Mm-hmm. And there were stories that women could hardly get out because they couldn't breathe, talking about the assault, the abandonment, the being thrown away. And that's when I brought in local actresses to tell the stories, because I felt like this was the heart of my work. This is what made it different than other, even socially active work, was that it was still the stories of women. And so I have my company realizes that they're all midwives. They're all there to stand with the woman, as in the history of Medea, the classic story. They stand with the woman, you know. And then at the center, I have all these young women who have found a place to lay it down, to lay these burdens down. And I say to women, you know, it's not your secret. It's somebody else's garbage. Throw it off so that you can move on, or turn it into a jewel if it looks like a piece of junk. We can find a diamond in there. And I think my girls, my women, all have learned this and they follow suit. Yeah.
We mentioned Stella, and she ends her piece on a very positive note by saying, I learned that every time I pass Planned Parenthood and see the protesters outside, I will go into that clinic and give the front desk $10 because, man, thank you, Graces.
Yes.
Adrian, when I drive by Planned Parenthood on Valencia Street every morning, I see the protesters outside. And when I went to one of the rehearsals of The Birthright last week, something struck me about what Rodessa said. She said, not only are these women dealing with their own trauma, just so many complex emotions, but then they have to walk by the protesters and these horrible, bloody photos. Sometimes they're yelling at them. They've got music blaring. And that's something that you just don't hear much about in the public discourse.
Yes, and you don't expect it really in San Francisco. We have some of the worst protesters in both San Francisco and Napa. Mm. So right here in the Bay Area, and the protesters in San Francisco are there. It's not that there are so many of them. It's this small group of extremely aggressive and harassing protesters, and they're out there and they're yelling, shouting at women. They make women walk this gauntlet of images, which are so disturbing, and they're these images are on huge poster board, partially blocking the sidewalk, and they have this huge truck out there with also graphic images, and it's so disturbing that we have had a number of neighbors come and tell us that their children don't want to drive by the health center anymore because their kids are so upset. And can you imagine? And you're whatever age you are of woman, young, mid age, you are coming to Planned Parenthood generally because something is really troubling. You are worried that you have an unintended pregnancy. You have found a lump and you're concerned. We're concerned about STD. And so whatever the reason, you not only have to deal with that, but these horrible protesters. And like you said, they've got music blasting that can be heard sometimes inside the health center, which is not good for women and men who are getting services. So we actually had a buffer ordinance put in place in San Francisco. It had the support of all 11 members of the Board of Supervisors. And then, of course, in July, the Supreme Court invalidated Massachusetts' buffer zone, which made enforcement of our buffer zone in San Francisco problematic. But what we did was we moved very quickly to get an amended ordinance in place that would not have that exact same buffer protection, but that would sort of balance the rights of free speech with protection of our clients. So no blasting the music, no blocking the sidewalk. If you are harassing and trying to block access to the health center, then you get moved back behind the zone. So that's what we've got in place. And yeah.
Adrian, so in front of the clinic, there's two men. They're almost always the same men. And then a woman who's sort of lingering around, but she doesn't seem as active as the men. I mean, they are, you know, pointing right there in your face. What do you hear from people who actually pass these men when they go into the clinic? How does it really affect people?
Well, you can imagine that people who are both coming to the health center and just walking by or driving by are very upset. And this is one of the things, you know, we have people come by and start screaming matches with these people. They're so mad that they're out there. And sometimes people do come in and make donations, but they just start screaming at them. There have been altercations. And that's something that while we are gratified by support, we don't want those altercations. That's one of the reasons why we want some type of protection out there, because we don't want that to escalate, and nor does the police department. So, but you can, it is gratifying that people care a lot about access and want to maintain access. And there's huge support. We had an outpouring of support from people in San Francisco to protect our health center.
I had a most interesting encounter with the folks down on Valencia Street. You know, race matters. I walked up. I was going to a meeting in the office there, and I have very short hair. I'm very androgynous, and they didn't know what to do. So the woman, the two men step back, and the woman walks up and tries to hand me a rosary. And I couldn't even figure out, who are these three old people, and why are they kind of standing out in front of Planned Parenthood? But they were very quiet. They didn't know what I was or what I was about. And the lady decided that it could be her job, if I was going in to do anything, she was going to direct me to Jesus. And, you know, it was very interesting, because I wanted to go back and I wanted to go by and create a gauntlet for the theater. I wanted to do something in front of the theater, but that was one of I just have so much to do. I didn't get around to doing that. But I'm going to just start cruising by to feel the vibe, you know, in the next few days and see what's going on. Because no, race matters. They did not yell at me. They did not have any exchange with me whatsoever. They probably thought I was some black guy, you know, going into Planned Parenthood for maybe to rob it or something. I don't know.
Well, I didn't know what to do with you, Odessa. And I do want to say, Rose, quickly, that we do, what we don't want is, so of course people get so upset. Oh, we want to go out and counter-protest the protesters. And I understand that impulse, but please, we do not want that situation. I'll tell you why. When you're going to Planned Parenthood for health services, you don't know who is who out in front. And you don't want a huge crowd of people, even if it's supporters, mingled with people who are protesting, because it's confusing. And so we do, in Napa, we have escorts that we organize, and that's a very popular thing to do.
That makes sense.
People love to go escort, so I just want to put that out there.
Our H Reality Check had a piece about how all of these restrictions are really galvanizing protesters across the country. Is that what you're seeing, Adrian?
Yes, and that is the silver lining. In 2011, you will recall that the federal government almost shut down over trying to defund Planned Parenthood, and this was Title X funding. So what this was family planning funding, not for abortions. It was for birth control, preventive health care, cancer screenings, and that whole national effort to defund that and to defund specifically Planned Parenthood caused an outpouring of support. I have been doing this a very long time, and normally what you have to do is get people aware of what's happening and then mobilize. And with all of these restrictions, people are spontaneously wanting to help and mobilizing themselves, whether it's on social media or contacting us. And, of course, we are still working on doing outreach. But, yes, people are mad. And so sometimes that's,
Adrian Boisian is Vice President of Public Affairs at Planned Parenthood Northern California. Rodessa Jones is founder of Cultural Odyssey and director of the award-winning Medea Project, Theater for Incarcerated Women. Rodessa is director of the new production Birthright, which puts a human face on these restrictions that we hear about on a regular basis. And you can see Birthright. It kicks off this Thursday at the Brava Theater in San Francisco, runs through the 19th, and it is in collaboration with Planned Parenthood. You can find ticket information at yourcallradio.org. And if you'd like to join us, how are you making sense of these abortion restrictions? What are your responses? What are your thoughts about the power of telling stories? Because so many women will take to the stage on Thursday night to share stories about HIV, getting tested, rape, sexual assault. Women and girls will be sharing these stories. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. If you've got a story to share, we'd love to hear from you. And also, we do so many shows about this, and it just, every show, the numbers are getting higher. So I'm wondering if people are putting their arms up in the air saying, I don't know what to say anymore. I'm not really sure where this is going. So if you feel like that, we'd love to hear from you.
Yes.
866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Let's hear from Nancy in Berkeley. Hi, Nancy. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I think it's really up to the younger generation. I'm 76, and I've been fighting this fight for a long time. And I took my 13-year-old granddaughter to see the movie You're Beautiful When You're Angry, and she was really impressed with this, and she said that, you know, she would like it, the movie, to be shown in her school, at least to the eighth grader. She goes to a private school in San Francisco. And I think, if all possible, if these two women could somehow get this movie to be shown to, you know, 13 to 18-year-olds, and maybe the play that they're putting on, because I think it's really important for these young women to get mobilized and to see these, you know, the movie, et cetera, because it's going to be up to them, really, to fight this fight. I mean, we've been doing this for so long, and it's, you know, it seems to be getting worse and worse instead of better and better. And I just, you know, I think, because these young women are very impressionable, and boy, my granddaughter was just, she was the only youngster in the movie, you know, in the movie theater, and she was just, she said, oh my gosh, she said, you know, we've got to do something about this. And I think, you know, getting these kids mobilized by, you know, showing the movie, and, you know, maybe you could somehow take this played to the schools, something. But
well, thank you, Nancy. We did a show about the documentary She's Beautiful When She's Angry, which is about the history of the women's movement. It gives a voice to the women who aren't household names, and it has amazing information about the abortion rights movement. And I have some good news for those of you living in the Santa Cruz area, because it will be shown next month at the Nickelodeon Theater, Friday, May 15th. I got an email recently from a listener who actually figured out how to bring the movie to Santa Cruz. So you can find more information about that online. Thank you for calling in, Nancy. And let's go next to Ellen in San Francisco. Hi, Ellen. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. And Rodessa, I just want to say I love your work and thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
My question is, I am pro-choice, and I go on a lot of message boards and argue with anonymous strangers out there about this issue. And something I've noticed lately, a tactic that the forced birth movement is using, is quoting how many abortions black women have and trying to frame it as a genocide of African-American people. And it's frustrating because I don't see a lot of concern about the well-being of African-American people coming from this crowd, unless it's about this issue. Have you encountered this, and do you have any thoughts to share? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Well, a large percentage of the women who will be on stage are African-American women who are talking about having abortions and making those choices. No, I haven't heard a lot about this other movement because my experience has been I have lost actresses in my company when I announced that I was going to be working with Planned Parenthood because they immediately went to this place where I can't deal with abortions. I would never have an abortion, and I was accused of not loving children, of not loving our black men because I was working with a group that was all about abortion. So I haven't heard a lot about this black women having abortions and messing with the nation. But if I do, it will definitely become a part of the conversation, yes.
Rodessa, how do you have conversations with those women?
Well, I have to let them go. I have to let them go because it's a real mixture of religion. And sometimes I realize these women have always had a problem with me because I'm 66. And I think there's people that feels like I'm an old broad, I should sit down. And honey, I've just begun to drive. So they get very upset that, how dare you be so passionate? How dare you? And back to the woman who took her daughter to see the movie, we have to disturb their complacency. Our presence is still needed because so many young people are lulled into believing everything has been fixed. Bless your granddaughter. But I feel like I will let women talk because I feel like they still have to, even if they disagree with me, they still have to be able to say what it is that they are thinking. And I do honor with African-American women who are opposed to abortions. I do honor the history of slavery in this country, but I do remind those women that, you know, a baby had better been born with $1 million attached to its toe, you know, because it just doesn't make any sense to bring a child into the world if you're living in public housing and you're not making you're barely making a living, and the people in power want to cut food stamps. They want to stop our voting rights. So it's like all of this stuff is how I respond to them.
Well, thank you for calling in, Ellen. Let's go next to Molly in Carmel. Hi, Molly. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks so much for this. Every time I hear discussions about abortion and it's really this ancient battle against women having autonomy, being able to make our own choices. And I, you know, there's a very good recent book out called My Notorious Life, a kind of fictionalized version of combination of characters in the 1860s who were basically midwives and providing women with the kinds of services that Planned Parenthood has. And I just think it's this reframing that's kind of, and the real battle is to keep women from making our own choices. And where we might have like one child rather than, and a life rather than many children, and overpopulated planet. Any comments? I'll take off the air.
Thank you, Molly.
Yeah, you know, I had a mother who had 19 pregnancies, and there was 12 of us lived. And I found out much later in my mother's life that she really only wanted two children. She wanted to be a nurse. But again, hers was about her religious training, and what she was taught was a wife's duty. I agree that this has been going on and on. Judy Grand talks a lot about how menstruation invented the calendar, you know, how men have always been afraid of women because they felt like if a woman can let a drop of blood hit the earth and a human being springs up, she's incredibly powerful. Now, we know it takes a little bit more than that, but I tried to, with the Medea Project, infuse my actresses with this power, with this understanding. And you can't let nobody turn you around, as they said in the civil rights movement. And as Adrienne was saying earlier, we have to continue to fight. And I'm going to get this book, My Notorious Life, and because I want to share it with my people. But I think it's just a constant conversation about our rights. Birthright is the name of this show. Mm. And it's like, what does that mean? You know, that we have a right to a life. We have a right to decide about our bodies and about the health care that we need, which includes abortion. And thank God for Planned Parenthood, which offers all these other things at a real price that poor people can afford. Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling, Molly. We've got time for one more caller. Let's hear from Karen in Oakland. Hi, Karen. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for covering this important topic. I am a I work with one of the Bay Area Planned Parenthoods. I do patient escorting. I've been doing this for a number of years, and what that basically involves is I am helping the young women and men sometimes who come to the clinic to basically act as a buffer between the protesters and the patients. And I'm fortunate with the Planned Parenthood that I've been affiliated with. It's actually quite quiet. I mean, we have the same regular protesters, but it's nothing like what you're describing on Valencia. And I'm wondering, and I know you can't speak for Planned Parenthood, but I'm wondering if the disruption is so great in San Francisco and the neighbors are so upset, why don't the neighbors call the police for disturbing the peace? You know, I know that there's a First Amendment right, et cetera, but if it's that disruptive to the neighborhood, I would think that either the escorts could try to keep the, I'm sure they have them there, could try to keep the protesters a little bit under control, or that the neighbors just band together and call in.
And Karen, sorry to cut you off, but we're almost out of time. Adrian, what role do the police play when it comes to protesters?
So as I mentioned, we have an ordinance in place to protect our health center, and that's because there is such an outpouring of support in San Francisco from our elected officials and from the community. And so those neighbors did weigh in, and that is part of the reason why we have the protection. And the police department, the San Francisco Police Department, is here to help enforce the ordinance.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in, Karen. Rodessa?
Thank you for the work.
Yes, thank you for your work. Rodessa, final thoughts as Birthright is kicking off this Thursday?
Well, I hope San Francisco will come out to see it. I love having grown up and living here. Martha Graham said, people from California believe anything's possible. San Francisco is its own orbit. I'd like to just thank Grants for the Arts. I'd like to thank Creative Work Fund, because these are funders that have stepped up, the Hewlett Foundation, and they are like, they're putting their money where their mouth is. And I just say, please come out and share this evening with us, and be ready to share stories. We want to give you room to speak to this issue too, and let's keep it public, and let's support women who are struggles. Our mothers, our sisters, our daughters are all women, y'all. Please come.
Birthright kicks off this Thursday at the Brava Theater, runs through April 19th. Find information at yourcallradio.org. Rodessa Jones is director of Birthright and the award-winning Medea Project Theater for Incarcerated Women. And Adrian Bozian is vice president of public affairs at Planned Parenthood Northern California. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.
Hear why.
Who are the Houthis? On the next Your Call, we'll have a conversation with reporter Safa Al-Ahmad about her frontline documentary, The Fight for Yemen. Her on-the-ground and often dangerous reporting from Yemen takes a rare and close-up look at the Houthis and their rise to power. How did the Houthis gain power? As violent feuds tear Yemen apart and the death toll rises, what are the prospects for its future? What questions do you have about Yemen? It's Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. Nock Nguyen produces the show, Malihe Razazan is senior producer, and Matt Martin is executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer, and Joe Burke is our studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.